Notice with me, if you would, in verse 10, the last phrase, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, grace is something given to us we don't deserve. If you give somebody grace, we sometimes get that confused with mercy. Mercy is not giving somebody something they do deserve. Grace is giving someone something they don't deserve. So he says here, being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And I want you to notice, if you would, he said, as many of you have received the gift. What gift is he talking about? Well, notice if you have your Bible, turn over to Romans chapter 5. Now keep your finger. We're going to look at three passages. We're going to look at Romans, Titus, and 1 Peter. And I want you to see all through this, a line called grace. And I want you to see that this morning. Romans chapter 5. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Something given to us we don't deserve. Wherein we stand. So you understand this morning that the grace of God given to us has given the gift of eternal life. So everybody in this room, I want you to notice, first off, that you receive it. Remember in 1 Peter it said, as many as receive this gift. What gift is he talking about? The gift of grace. God's grace and mercy is packaged up in a gift called eternal life. It's both mercy and grace, the gift of eternal life. This gift is available to everybody. It's already been paid for. It's the gift of mercy because you don't have to go to hell. The debt's already paid. Jesus suffered for us and the debt's paid. And it's a gift of grace because we have a home prepared in heaven for us. Just over the hilltop, I have a mansion. That's from John 14. He said, God's given to all of us this mercy and grace in one package, and it's called the gift of eternal life. And you receive it by grace. It's presented to every man. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Titus chapter 2. And I want you to see this verse. Titus chapter 2, if you would, please. Verse 11. And notice this with me, if you would. Titus 2 and verse 11. It says this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, this grace is something that all of us can benefit from. But you have to receive it. Now, I want you to understand there's a lot of things that man has always tried to do. Mankind has always tried to have a part in salvation. We've always tried to do something to help God. But God made heaven. God made the earth. He made you and I. He doesn't need our help. He wants our hearts. He wants your love. Why did God make us? Anybody know? He made us to give glory to Him and to fellowship with Him. God wants you and I, just like the Garden of Eden. That was a perfect scenario. He made this beautiful garden and He said, Adam and Eve, you just take care of this garden and all that's in it. And they had a perfect home, a perfect arrangement. There were no thorns. There were no weeds. There was nothing to do except just take care of the garden and enjoy it. And in the cool of the evening, how many of you have enjoyed the cool of the evening recently here? It's been wonderful, hasn't it? And so last night, I went out, walked around and prayed a little bit and enjoyed the cool of the evening. And the Lord says, I love the cool of the evening with you and I. One of the reasons He's made you is that you would fellowship with Him every day. But you can't do that until first you receive this gift that washes away your sin, justifies you, makes you as though you had never sinned. Go back, if you would, Romans chapter 5 and see that same verse, verse 1. Notice, if you would, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified. It's a legal term, dikaios, which means declared righteous. We're not righteous, but declared righteous. It would be as though in a court of law, you and I had someone else to step up, a family member, and say, look, I know Dave Pittman's guilty, but I want to pay his price. And the judge could look at me and say, okay, I pardon you, but you have to pay. That's what Jesus did for us. And you have to receive that. A lot of people say, well, you've got to go get baptized. You've got to give money. You've got to come to church. You've got to do all kinds of different things. You've got to pray these prayers. You've got to fall down and worship this golden image or this stone image. And so we are supposed to do parts of these things to help us get to heaven. And Jesus said, nope, I paid the debt. It's by grace, but you get it by putting your faith in me and receiving the gift of eternal life. And this morning, I would just ask you a simple question. Have you received the grace of God that brings salvation? Are you sure you're on your way to heaven this morning? It's grace to all of us. Nobody in this room can say, well, because I make so much money, God came to me. Nope. Well, because I'm of a certain height and stature or size, God came to me. Nope. Or I'm because I'm of a person intellect, or because I came up on the right or the wrong side of the track, if there is such a thing. God says, look, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son. So everybody in this room, God gives us grace. Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So everybody, this grace of God is presented to. Now, what you do with it and what I do with it is up to us. Now, I want you to understand this morning, this is a key part of the message. But it's a key part for all of us. Grace gives us a choice. It means it's not forced on any of us. Now, right now we're talking briefly about salvation. Salvation, going to heaven, missing hell, is a gift given to you by grace, and you have to choose it. If you've not chosen it, then you need to today. And you may say, well, Pastor, I don't remember if I've ever made that decision. It is a birth. How many of you mothers have had children and you don't remember anything about it? Okay. When you're born into God's family, you're alive and well, and God remembers it. And it happens at a point in time. Born again. You receive his faith, his grace, in the form of the gift of eternal life, and it's settled for all eternity. Have you received that gift this morning? But I want you to notice, if you would, go back now, if you would, to Titus chapter 2, and notice, if you would, with me, a verse that I don't know all of us have really thought much about. But notice, if you would, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, that's a great thing. But notice the next phrase, teaching us. This grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So this great grace gives us eternal life. But it also gives us a choice on how to live. Now, Christian liberty is that you can live however you like, but the grace of God teaches us things we ought to do and ought not to do. But you don't have to listen. Now, our Heavenly Father says, if you don't listen, I'm going to get after you. How many know what it means when your father or your mother got after you? How many know what that means? It's not pleasant, okay? It may mean that you got a spanking. It may mean that you had to sit down. Now, probably one of my worst punishments would be if I had to sit down in a chair for 15 minutes and not move. That was probably my greatest punishment, okay? Because that was just hard for me. All right. I mean, class was hard for me to sit and not move. So, and let me say this to you. If my parents really wanted to get to me, short of getting spanking, what did they do? They'd say, no ball playing today. No. Was it that bad what I did? Yep. Oh, you know what I'd say? I'm never doing that again. Because I like to go outside and play ball and have a good time with my friends. And you take that away. Oh, my goodness. Was that horrible? So you can live however you want. You don't have to write. And if you've ever seen my writing, it started in the first grade. Still remember it. I would write real quickly so I can go outside and play ball. And my first grade teacher, I don't know her name, but she gave me a C in writing. Oh, was that the death sentence? Now, from that day forth, I still never really learned. Now, I got in trouble, and I got into a lot of trouble because I got a C in writing. But I didn't learn the lesson in here. I did just enough to get by. How many of you know Christians like that? Okay? I do just enough to get by. I try to, convince my mom I'm really trying, and that's about the best I can do. I'm going to tell you what, anybody can write good if you try. If you sit down and take enough hours, you can write John Saw the Dog Run perfectly. But I don't got hours, you know. I got things to do and places to go and people to see. So I'm going to write it down real quick and turn it in. A lot of Christians live like that. But the grace of God teaches us, notice Titus chapter 2, the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. So this same grace that God's given to you teaches us how to live. So there are certain things we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to live ungodly. Live like the Lord would not live. We're not supposed to have worldly lusts. Now keep in mind, a lust is a desire that's too great. That's what lust is. Epithumos. Thumos is the word for passion. Epi is too much passion. So it's a lust. So there's not anything in the world wrong with wanting a vehicle, a car. Nothing wrong with that at all. But if you say, I want this car, I want a Ford Focus, or I want an Audi, or I want a whatever it is. But no, I want a Rolls Royce, or I want a Lamborghini with the doors flip up like that. And you say, that's what I got to have. So you tailor your life to try to get one of those. It's a lust. It's something it's a passion that's too great. I'll take on an extra job. I'll do this and I'll do that. So we make compromises because of the desire of our heart to get what we want. Many a marriage has broken and failed because someone had a lust for someone else. And the grace of God says, I'm not helping you with that. I want you to deny that. Say no to that. So you're at work and someone comes up and hits on you, a girl, a lady, or a man, which it's not a lady if she hits on you, and he's not really a man if he hits on you, but we'll just use those terms. They come up and hit on you, and that point in time is when you say no, teaching us that denying worldly lusts. You're in school, and so somebody else is over there cheating, and they're making good grades, and you say, the Holy Spirit says, no, don't do it that way. You deny the lusts of the world. If I make a better grade, I can get this, this, and this. Nope, you earn it the right way or you don't do it. Denying worldly lusts. And so this grace of God teaches all of us how to live. But we have to listen. And many a Christian does not listen. Now notice, if you would, he says this in verse 12. He teaches us things not to do. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. And then he teaches us what to do. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So there are things we ought not to do and things we ought to do. And he wants us to live godly. He wants us to live like the Lord. Now I want you to notice, if you would with me, that this choice, okay, watch. Three choices. Now follow with me. I choose to trust Christ as my Savior. That's a grace God's given to me, a choice I don't deserve. The grace of God brought salvation to Dave Pittman, and I got to choose. And I chose to choose. I chose to accept Christ, receive this great gift. Now, if you would, turn with me back over to 1 Peter 5, or 1 Peter 4, and notice. Notice 1 Peter 4. And notice with me, if you would, in verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift. Now he's writing, Peter's writing to Christians that are scattered abroad. And he said, as every one of you have received the gift of eternal life. Well, notice he says, even so, minister the same to another. That's why I pass out tracts. I was talking to someone yesterday. And they say, Pastor, you know what? Somebody gave me a tract. And I took it like everybody else, and I read it, and I put it over my dresser, and I left it there, and I got it out. And he said, about the third time I read it, it clicked. And I prayed and trust Christ as my Savior. He's sitting here today. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Now, the word minister is oikonomos, which is the word for household manager. Now, how many of you ladies, you just have one thing to do in your whole life? That's it. How many of them? Nobody. How many of you have lots of things to do? You got to prepare a meal. You got to wash clothes. You got to make a bed. You've got to wash the lawn. You got to go to the store and get soap, and you get hand soap, and you get the right kind of shampoo. And there's a million things that a lady's got. And then you got to take the kids to practice, or you got to go pick them up from school. So the lady is this, or a man is this. You're a minister, and you know the word minister is a servant. Someone that runs errands for someone else. And we're running errands for the King of Kings. And one of the errands that we run is, notice if you would, follow along with me. Verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister. And so this would be an errand runner, or really to execute the commands of someone else. Minister the same one to another. And what does Matthew chapter 28 say? Preach the gospel everywhere you go. Preach the gospel. Teach men to trust the Lord as Savior, be baptized and grow. So all of us, because we've been given this grace of eternal life, now we have the responsibility to minister, to share this gift with others. But follow along with me. He says this, as good stewards. Now, that's the household manager. It's not just that all of us have one duty, and that's to pass out the tract. Or all of us have one duty, and that's to share the gospel with people. You have far more duties than that. But you have to make the choice, do I want to be a servant and an errand runner of the King of Kings? So the first choice is, I want to receive Christ as my Savior and receive the gift of eternal life. The second choice is, do I want to serve the great God of heaven? Do I want to run errands for Him? Now, let me tell you this. Everybody in this room, you run errands for somebody. Your wife, your boss, everybody here is an errand runner. The old devil, you run an errand for somebody. Just choose the person you're going to run for. And that's what he's saying right here. I want you to choose me, the Lord Jesus. Now, notice some of the things he says in verse number 3. Now, go back and remember, he said, look, this grace of God teaches us certain things. Verse 3, for this is 1 Peter 4:3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, the will of the world, when we walked in lasciviousness, unbridled lusts, pornography, fornication, immorality, covetousness. Lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, that's bar hopping, you could say today, and abominable idolatries. We worshiped all kinds of different things. You may say, well, I'm not an idolater, but you know what? I'm going to skip all the things that I know are right so I can sit down and watch a ball game, or I'm going to skip all the things that I know are right so I can go hunting or fishing or whatever. Well, you don't kneel down and worship to a golden image, but you kneel down and worship in something else. See, an idol is anything that takes place of Jesus. So you really have an idol of pride if you get mad at your wife and cuss her out. You really have an idol of pride if you get mad at your husband and dump his spaghetti in his lap, even though he deserved it. But you know what? You have to choose. Am I going to try to please the Lord? Am I going to accept the grace that causes me to live differently? Notice, if you would, he says in verse number 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. He said, there's going to be a time whenever you say, Lord, I've received the grace of God and I've chosen to live in your grace. I've chosen to live in your grace and yield to what you say to me to do. So I'm not going to yield to lust anymore. I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. Lord, I want to be different. I want to be God-like. And so the people you used to hang around with, your old friends, are going to go, what's wrong with him? I was just talking with someone yesterday and said, he was saved and took a little while before he got in a good church and started growing before he started reading his Bible that much. And he would kind of make fun of Christians. And, you know, we all do that. Until you begin to walk with the Lord and you begin to see, wow, notice there's a reason, verse 4, wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them again. You don't run with them anymore. Why is that? Because you're living underneath the grace of God, the goodness of God that teaches us how to live. You see, one of the great things about living in the grace of God is there's no sin takes control of your life. Would you like to be free of a besetting sin? No matter what it is. Anger, bitterness, covetousness, immorality. If you'd like to be free of it, there's a way. You just yield to the grace of God. And that grace teaches us how to deny ungodliness and deny worldliness and say, I'm not going to do that, but I am going to do this. You see, I want to be a great husband because I want to yield to the grace of God and He will show me things I should do. That's the reason why, I apologize a lot to my wife and she apologizes a lot to me. Not because we're bad people, but because we want things right. And the grace of God touches my heart and says, Dave, how many of you know what tone is? How many of you know what tone is? How many have ever said the right thing with the wrong tone? And you got in big trouble. Now, young people, listen to me. You know one of the worst things a teenager can do is answer their parents with the wrong tone. Do anybody know why? Does anybody know why? Because teenagers that answer with the wrong tone grow up to be adults that answer the wrong tone. You're answering your earthly father with the wrong tone. You get to be an adult and you answer your heavenly father with the wrong tone. And he takes back his grace and gets out his stick. And life becomes very difficult. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. So we have a choice. I want to live in the grace of God. But that grace teaches me how to live differently. And so the old friends kind of begin to make fun of me. They begin to pull away because I don't run in the same circles I used to run. And the grace of God changes my life so that I have to live differently. And then, now let's be careful. I use the word have to. Grace is this. It's not what we're made to do, but what we want to do. That's grace. Grace gives you the choice. Grace gives you the choice to say, now listen very carefully. I want you to answer me a question. Do I have to stay married to Susan Pittman in this world? Answer me, do I have to? No. I can divorce her like 50% of the other people in the world are. But I'm not listening to the grace of God. Now, I want you to notice this. I can say this. I want to buy this or I want to have that. And maybe I don't have quite the money for it, but I'll go get a second job and I don't. Now, listen very carefully. I don't sit down and say, Lord, I want you to give me wisdom. Teach me what I should do, what I should purchase. Very few Christians say, Lord, teach me what I should purchase. How many of you go to the store, you go to Costco, and a lot of times at Costco, how many of you ever buy too much of one thing? You really don't need it, but it's a good deal. How many of you ever have done that? Okay? Costco helps you with that. You know, we go to the store and I need, we need one of those little wipes, things you wipe the kitchen with. And they come in a series of four or six or ten or a box. And my wife says, let's get some of this. So, you know, we use styrofoam cups a lot. And so we get the 16-ounce styrofoam cups. And if you go to Giant, they've got them this long. And there's two rows of them. And they're, you know, $4 or whatever it is. You go to Costco, they're $19.95 and you get 500 cups, a 20-year supply. And so, you know what happens is you have to go to a store, whether it's a car store, a grocery store, whatever, and say, Lord, I want your grace to teach me to deny the things I shouldn't and to accept the things and want the things that I want. Lord, I need your grace. How many Christians pray like that and live like that? Notice if you would. Now, follow along with me. He says this, verse 5, who shall give account to himself that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So we're all going to give an account to the Lord for the way we use His grace. Do we listen to it and do we obey it? Now follow with me. I receive the grace of God and then I choose, I want to listen to it. Now, Lord, I want you to teach me how to live right. But the third thing is, Lord, I choose to live right. So there's three parts to this grace. Receiving the grace of God, it's presented to every man. We're taught the grace of God. I'm going to listen. And I'm going to do it. Now look at some of the things. I bet you, that's a bad word for a preacher to use, okay? But I would recommend to you that you probably have not thought about some of the things the grace of God teaches you to do and me to do. Notice, if you would, verse number 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Did you know the grace of God teaches us we're supposed to love each other? And wait a minute. Notice the priority. What's the priority? What's the priority? And above all things. So what is the thing you'll know by the Christians by? You'll know by their love one for another. We don't have that first place in our life. I want to love everybody in this room. I want to love Tim Rees over here. I want to love Paul Bear's over there. I don't know. You look over here. I want to love Sam Dalton. I want to love, I don't know. I want to love Brian Gustafson back there. He keeps messing with my sound, you know. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, we can look at all kinds of things and say, I really want to love that person, but I don't know about, I just like that person. Above all things, love everybody. Anybody living in that grace? Okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. Am I doing it? Notice number 2. And above all things, verse 8, have fervent charity. Now, do anybody know what fervent means? Now, look very carefully. If you've been married for a long time, fervent love, you have to work at it. If you've been married longer than 3 or 4 years, you have to work at fervent love. Because we get busy. It doesn't mean we don't love the person. We just, the love just doesn't have the same fire. He said, I want you to love everybody with fire. Do you have a fervent love for people? And you say, well, Pastor, come on. You know what I mean? I got a lot of things in life. Above all things. I didn't say that. That's the grace of God that saves you, teaches you to love everybody with a passion. And you and I have to sit over here and say, well, am I going to do that or not? I don't like so-and-so because they're not very nice. I don't like so-and-so because they're this or because they're that or because we don't have that option. The grace of God teaches us to love people fervently. What would happen if we all did that? It changes. Notice if you would. Now follow with me. In verse number 8, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. You see, we had to watch out for each other. It doesn't mean you hide or bury sins. Somebody does something that's wrong, we have to deal with that. A child does something that's wrong, you're a parent, you have to deal with that. But it means you protect the person to where... how many of you have ever made a mistake? Let me see your hand. Made a mistake. You're not proud of it. Let me see your hand. Okay? You don't want the whole world to know about it. Let me see your hand. Okay. Let me give you an example. If you tell this... Somebody's already laughing. Hadn't even told it, and they started laughing. The other day, I was driving over to the church property. I was going to unlock the gate for somebody or whatever. I'm going over. And, no, police officer pulls me over. I'm not going too fast. What did I do wrong? Blinker works. I'm checking everything, you know. And I pull down and look at my registration and my wallet and a police officer. Now, there's police officers in this room this morning. So they don't know the terror they put us under. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So I'm panicked already. And I'm a pastor. And guess what vehicle I'm in? My yellow, canary yellow banana truck. So everybody in the world can see, oh, there's Pastor Pittman. And the blue lights are flashing like this. What did he do? Rob the bank down at the corner? I don't know. So I'm just terrified. He walks over and he looks at me and he says, license, registration, please. I give him a license. You know, I'm trying to get my wallet out. You know, I mean, I'm not a bit nervous. I'm trying to get my wallet out. I get my driver, give it to him. And he walks back and he comes back and he says, you know why I pulled you over? I wish they wouldn't ask that. No, sir. No clue. He said, I looked myself and couldn't believe it. Man, I must have run over somebody or something. I don't know. He said, did you know your tags are out? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I'll get that fixed. He said, since March. I said, oh. He said, I looked and I couldn't believe it. I had to get behind your car and look again and watch and follow you. Nobody has 6 months of free tag. Man, you drive with bad tags on your car for 6 months. And so, you know, what do you say? I didn't know that. And what do you say? I said, I am so sorry. I'll get that fixed immediately. I don't want everybody to know that. So don't you tell anybody outside this room. If you love me, don't go outside this room and say, my pastor got pulled over this week. Now, you see, there's some things we're not proud about. I'm so busy and I think I'm busy. But how many of you here don't think you're busy? How many of you in this room do not think you're busy? See, that's what I thought. We all think we're busy. So, you know, I'm trying to get this done and that done. You know, in this area of Loudoun County, you've got to have a sticker. You've got to have a car tag. You've got to pay your personal property tax. You've got to pay your real estate tax. You've got to pay your state tax. You've got to pay your federal tax. I mean, all this kind of stuff. And if you forget one thing, they pull you over, you know. It doesn't sound right, but it is right, okay? Now follow along. I don't want everybody to know that. So there's some things that love say, well, you know, I'm not going to tell everybody that. That's what love does. It covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean you condone me saying, well, Pastor, I don't think you should have to have tags. It just says you have a compassion for me when I got to pay the $800 fines and all the stuff that goes on with it. Now, follow along with me. Look here. Verse 9. Use hospitality. You know what that is? Hospitality, fellow exonon. Exonon is a stranger. Fellow, to love. To love a stranger. There are people that come, we see every week. The grace of God teaches you, you're supposed to love strangers. We don't do that. That is not something we're good at, to love a stranger. Someone comes into our church that's new, we need to be better and saying, Lord, I'll do what you want. The Holy Spirit touches our heart. The grace of God says, there's a stranger, somebody that's new. A stranger doesn't mean they come from Mars. It means they're just not here before. And you know what we do? If we're not careful, we don't go after the stranger and say, we're glad to have you. Notice what he says. Using hospitality one to another without grudging. Now, without grudging is I'll fix you a meal. Somebody here that has a surgery and we'd like to fix you a meal. And so we do it and we don't grudge about it. The word grudge is murmur under your breath. We just don't complain or gripe about it. Or, you know, you sign up for the choir and you're in the choir and after about 3 months, And so he says, look, you use hospitality. You do things for other people without murmuring about it. Now, let me ask you this. Now, we're just talking about the grace of God. The grace of God teaches us this. It's right here in the book. Now, follow along with me. Look in verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're going to speak, speak as though you're writing Scripture. You're talking from Scripture. That's one of the reasons we memorize God's Word, so we say things that coincide with what the Lord would say. And follow with me, says, if any man minister, if any man is an errand runner, if any man's a servant, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Now, this is the hard one. Lord, I've got to preach this morning. How many of you think I've got a choice to preach or not? That's my job. What would it be like if you came to church this morning and I came up here and we had the offering, we prayed, and I sat right here and I said, you know, I decided not to preach today. How many of you have ever said, I'm decided not to go to work today? I'm going to call in sick. But you know what grace says? Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. You've given me grace. The room to make the choice because I want to. That's grace. So Lord, I want to tell people about your goodness. Every time I get the chance. You know how many times in 46 years someone's asked me to preach and I said, no. There are times that I've probably said things without the ability which God giveth. I didn't spend enough time in prayer and say, Lord, you help me say what you want me to say. The ability that God giveth. How many Sunday school teachers? You've taught your classes with the ability that God giveth. The choir members, you sang with the ability that God giveth. The orchestra. Wasn't the orchestra wonderful today? Didn't it do a great job? Jonathan did a great job. You know who Jonathan was 5 years ago? He's one of these kids right here. That's exciting to me. And he did a great job leading the orchestra. But you know what? There were new people in the orchestra. But did we do it with the ability that God gives us? That's the way you become a laborer together with God. It's not just that we labor. We labor with the Lord. That's the grace that God gives to all of us. Now, listen very carefully. You don't have to come to church. It's a grace that God gives to you. I don't have to go home every night just because I'm married. But I do. Because I love her and I love him. I come to church not because I have to, but because I want to. I'm faithful to Susan not because I have to, but because I want to. When are we going to learn that Christ saves us and the grace of God teaches us you do what you ought to do because you want to? You get up in the morning and you have your devotions and you read your Bible because you want to. Young people, you do your homework because you want to. How many of you love to get up in the morning and go to work? You can hardly wait to get up and go to work in the morning. It is your life's dream to get up every morning at 5:30 in the morning and prepare and go to work. How many of you is that way the case? Let me see your hands. Come on. I see one, two. Anybody else? I like to go to work. I do. I'm not sure I'm going to join that group of two, but I like to. So you know what, young people? You know what, adults? All of us have to make ourselves do certain things. Do we do it with joy? Do we pray with privilege? Do we come to church with privilege? Do we greet other people with privilege? Are you hospitable with privilege? Are you living by grace? Or are you living by debt? Let me ask you this question, I'll close. How many of you, if you had the choice, would pay your mortgage or not? How many of you would, if you had the choice, if your banker said, you don't have to pay anymore if you don't want to, how many of you would say, oh, you've been so nice to me, here's $2,000. How many of you would pay your mortgage if he said, you don't have to? That's what I thought. And that's the way we live. The only difference is your banker didn't give you your house. Jesus gave you your home. It's a free gift. And he doesn't require a monthly payment. He just requires a daily effort by grace. Are you living by grace this morning? We have some missionaries all around the world. Eric and Holly Johnson. They sit right here. God touched Eric's heart. God's called me to the mission field. Touch Holly's heart. God's called me to the mission field. They got married. God's called us to the Dominican Republic. If you were to call Eric today and say, Eric, we need you to come home because we don't want you to be there. His parents, her parents. You know what he would say? Oh, we want to be here. Yeah, but you live in a gated community for safety's sake. Yeah, but we want to be here. We love being here. Doug Weed, you live in Saltillo, Mexico. It's a town of about 100,000, and there are drug lords all around. And if you go outside the city, you can't visit at night. And what are you still doing there? I want to tell people of the Lord. I want to be here. You don't have to be. I know, but I want to be here. Living by grace. Dave Pittman, you got up this morning. Did you read your Bible? Lord, I want to. This morning I get up. Do you understand what would change in your life if you started living by grace? You could go to the mission field and be happy. You could tithe and be happy. You could sing in the choir and be happy. You could pray for your missionaries and be happy because it's by grace. You could love your mate and be happy because it's by grace. It's not by debt. And today I just want to challenge you. Have you received the grace that gives you the gift of eternal life? Are you listening to the grace that teaches you how to live? The things you ought to do and things you ought not to do. Folks, there are the words that we say and tones that we use that we should not use. But no one can make you. It is a choice by grace. How do you treat your parents? Do you treat them with grace? How do you treat your children? With grace? How do you treat your boss? With grace? You see, that's the way the world sees us as different. You go to church every week. You go to church two or three times every week. Is there something wrong with you? No. I've been given grace. you're totally loyal to your wife, no matter what. I've been given grace. It's my choice. When Jesus hung on the cross, they're getting ready to nail him to the cross. You know what the angel said in heaven? Let us go and set him free. Did he not say I could have called 82,616 angels? But grace said, no. I'll do this thing willingly. And because of the grace of God, you and I have the grace to go to heaven and live by grace in this life. Are you doing it? Are you living by grace? Are you cooking by grace? Are you washing your car by grace? Are you coming to church by grace? It is a choice because I love you. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning.